Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I sometimes wonder if we really know what to do with the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." I mean, congregation, we know we should pray it. Of course, it was our Saviour, after all, who made this petition too part of the prayer that he taught his disciples, teaches us. And so we do pray this petition, at least when we pray the Lord's Prayer. But seriously, to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," when you and I can go to the fridge or to the pantry at a moment's notice, yes, despite even the supply chain issues of the last little while, and find there in our fridge, in our pantry, more than enough to eat, it seems a little superfluous, a bit unnecessary, doesn't it, to pray this petition? And of course, we know that there's no way that our Saviour would give us an unnecessary petition in the Lord's Prayer. But then what is it really to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Why must that petition too be part of our regular prayer life with the Lord? Why is it necessary to pause regularly and ask for our Father's provision in our lives when we more or less have a pretty good idea where that provision is going to come from? Because, let's face it, if there's ever a danger in our day and age, it's this. We need to be aware of the warning that God gave to his people. We read it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The danger of having lots of food, lots of nice things, nice houses even, good businesses, healthy and steady incomes, great holidays even, that can let our heart or cause our heart to be uplifted or proud, Deuteronomy 8 verse 14. And that can, as this passage points out, that can lead to us forgetting about our God. To put it succinctly, there is a danger that material blessings leads to godlessness. So given what is for most of us, I believe, a level of affluence that really is absolutely staggering compared to previous generations, compared to even today many places in the world, this petition, congregation, is more urgent than ever. So our theme then this afternoon, our Saviour teaches us to pray the fourth petition with a view to our spiritual well-being. We'll consider this afternoon, in the first place, the wonderful reach of this petition, and secondly, our Father's grace in answering this petition. So first of all, the wonderful reach of this petition. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Scripture, brothers and sisters, and I'm guessing that you probably know, or many of you probably know, where they come from. Let me read them to you. It goes like this: "Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." I suspect that many of us know that comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. So those verses describe two situations. One, too much, which leads potentially to denying God. Or two, second situation, too little, and then being tempted to steal and so profaning the name of God. Now, I'll put it to you this afternoon, congregation, young people too, each one of us here this afternoon is more in danger of the first than the second. We're much more in danger, I think we probably all would agree on this, of having too much and so potentially forgetting about God, than having too little and potentially stealing and so profaning the name of God. It might not be true to the same degree for each one of us, but most of us have more, often much more than we need in terms of food, physical possessions, money, etc. Most of us can, I think, if we so choose, wear on any given day two or even three different outfits depending on what we're doing in the course of the day. Most of us can, if we so choose to, go to Costco, say, and purchase any combination of ready-made boxes of pre-packaged snacks from the two or three aisles that they have down there. Most of us can, if we so choose, I think, upgrade, say, our cell phone plans to reflect our more current usage. And we do all of these things and many more besides, while many of us have and do, praise God for this, write out very regular checks or do e-transfers for the church, or we have our monthly automatic withdrawals for school tuition. Oh, and then many of us are still blessed to put money together to stock our campers and plan for a coming summer camping trip. The point is clear, congregation. You and I think, are much more in danger of being so blessed that we forget God, not realizing anymore that He is the source of it all, that He is the provider, the giver of all the blessings. When it comes to daily bread with all the trimmings, it's easy for us, isn't it, in our day and age of affluence to be self-sufficient rather than being fully dependent on Him who provides. And you might be saying as you're listening, well, it's okay for you to talk like that, but who of us here is actually forgetting God? I mean, really, if that were true, then why are there so many pews occupied this afternoon? And brothers and sisters, it is indeed a blessing that we're not forgetting God to the point that we're abandoning Him. And that's true only, we confess, because our God, through His Spirit, is working that in our hearts. We thank Him for that. But listen, is it not also true to say, given the way that we use and spend the blessings God gives us, that we do, in a practical sense, actually sometimes forget God? To illustrate with a very simple example, who of us here, and I totally include myself in this, isn't guilty of at times being wasteful with the money or the things that we're blessed with? What is that then? Well, isn't that forgetting God in that particular purchase? Isn't it not remembering Him as we swipe the credit card or tap it? And as God's thankful children, we want to be kept from that, don't we? We pray this petition because we want to acknowledge always that He is the only fountain of all good, to use the words of Answer 125. And acknowledging that reality means that we also want to use His blessings with which our Father blesses us always for His glory. And that's why, congregation, it's really only safe to pray this fourth petition after having prayed petitions 1, 2, and 3. Let me say that again. It's only safe to pray the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, once we've prayed petitions 1, 2, and 3. Let's explain that. When we pray the first petition, hallowed be your name, what are we asking? We're asking God, our Father, to open our eyes to His work in our lives that we have, so that we have, as a result, every reason to praise and glorify Him. To pray the first petition is to pray that He takes our lives and makes them living, vibrant, and consistent testimonies to His power, His wisdom, His goodness, His righteousness, mercy, and truth. The only reason we keep praying the remaining petitions of the Lord's Prayer is so that we might be better equipped to bring His name the glory it is due. To pray the first petition is to ask God then to so work in us by His Spirit that we focus on Him and His glory in every part of our lives. And that's true when you think about it of the second petition too, Your Kingdom Come. It's a prayer to destroy the work of the devil in our lives so that we are constantly ruled by His word and by His Spirit. In short, it's a prayer that our God works in us so that we're consistently focused on Him. And of course, that's true for the third petition too, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a plea for God to work obedience and faithful, thankful, loving service of Himself all to His glory. To pray the first three petitions is then to ask God to take our lives and let them be so focused and governed by Him that He is the sole target of our affection and our love. These petitions are prayers that God work in us so that He is and always remains our singular focus in life. As His children, We delight to pray these petitions because having such a singular focus, such a heavenly upward focus, is something that we want to have worked in us by the Spirit. After all, this is the glory that's due to our God. And that's why we say it's only safe to pray the fourth petition having prayed the first three. Because listen, should our Father answer our fourth petition, giving us this day our daily bread, without us having him as our singular focus, we would, congregation, then indeed be in danger of forgetting him. To have all the material blessings that we enjoy, but then not having him as the focus of our lives, will and can only result in one thing, this, that we use, or perhaps I should say, that we abuse all his blessings by using them for our own gratification, our own selfish ends. See, then his blessings become horrible curses because they result in us forgetting our gracious Father. And nothing could be worse than that. So it's clear, congregation, if God blesses us with abundance, but not with that focus, that upward focus, then inevitably that abundance becomes a curse because we end up forgetting our God. And brothers and sisters, don't be sceptical about what you're hearing, because this, of course, is all coming straight from God's Word. That's why we read Deuteronomy chapter 8. And maybe you want to go back there with me. It's a quite well-known chapter, largely because Jesus quoted verse 3 when he was being tempted by the devil in the desert. Tempted, by the way, congregation, in relation to the very real bodily needs he had at that time. He was hungry. But this afternoon, brothers and sisters, we need to notice in this chapter the very direct link between being blessed by God and the danger of forgetting God. Again, like I said, if you've got your Bibles there, let's just look at this a bit more closely. As we said just before we started our scripture reading, God's covenant people are about to enter the promised land. And the focus of this chapter is God instructing his people through Moses to remember him as they experience his blessings. This needs to be reinforced because, as God knows his people, they are sinful just like we are. The danger is so real. Being blessed can so easily lead to forgetting God. So Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. They must be careful, says that verse, to do all that God commands them to do. Verse 2. They are to remember the whole way of the Lord their God. Verse 3, the desert journey was like a godliness training camp. God let them go hungry, then he fed them, so that, the second part of verse 3, they might know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then verse 5, God disciplines them, so as to teach them, verse 6, to walk in his ways, fear him. And then we get to verse 7 through 10. For, verse 7, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, here's a description of the land, of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full. Congregation, you read that and you say, wow, what a land, what blessings. It really does sound like the promised land. It is the promised land. But look, congregation, that's us, isn't it? We live in a good land, water from our taps, water from the bottles, food from the gardens, food from the grocery stores. We eat without scarcity. We lack nothing. We build, we invest, we save for a rainy day. What blessings. And God gives it all. Why? Well, look at the last part of verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8. Last part of verse 10. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. He gives it, congregation, so that you, to use the words of Psalm 125 now, might acknowledge him as the only fountain of all good. See it there, congregation? It's His glory, it's His honour that is in focus in His provision of us. See, that's why He blesses you. The fourth petition too has its focus on the glory of our God. But of course, congregation, God is well aware of our sinful nature, the sinful nature of His people. And that's why, through Moses, His servant, God is also very realistic here in Deuteronomy 8. Look at verse 11 through to verse 14. After saying that they're going to be blessed and that through that blessing they're going to bring glory to God's name. Look at verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Again, congregation, God is so thoroughly realistic with us here in His Word. You've got to love that. Because we eat and we get full. We even go out to supper at times and we eat too much. We've built our houses, we've renovated our houses, we've decorated and we've redecorated our houses. We live in them. And when we need or want something bigger or different, we sell, we buy again. Not many of us, perhaps some of us here have flocks and herds, but not many of us. But we have our silver and gold in the form of bank accounts and in the form of investments. We say bad things under our breath when we have to pay a capital gains tax, but paying capital gains tax means you've made a capital gain. That's a blessing, even if the tax isn't. And all of this, brothers and sisters, is not at all to give us a guilty feeling about being blessed. No, not at all. Because nowhere in Scripture, in the Bible, will you find that it's wrong to be blessed with abundance. In fact, this chapter says the opposite. Look at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for, listen to this, it is He who gives you power to get wealth. See, congregation, it's God who gives us the ability to also use our money to gain wealth. Why does God do that? Verse 18, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So understand this. Capital gain on your house or your land or your farm is because God allows and indeed He makes that to happen. More, that He is blessing you in that way or in any other way is indeed confirmation that He is yours and you are His in covenant. So to experience blessing and wealth, to experience abundance and blessings are gifts from Him. And we don't have to shy away from that reality. But at the same time, congregation, our God is gracious enough to warn us of the dangers. Even as He tells the Israelites of the immense covenant blessings that await them in the Promised Land, He at the same time warns them. He warns us. He's saying to you, He's saying to me as we pray this petition for daily sustenance, He's saying, look, my people, be careful. Be careful. There is danger here. And the danger, the very real danger, is that you, my people, will get proud, that your heart will be lifted up, and that you will forget the Lord your God. Let me say it like this, brothers and sisters. Don't even think to pray for God's material blessings in your life, His day-to-day sustenance, your health, your wealth. Don't even think to pray the fourth petition without first praying petitions 1, 2, and 3. Pray first, congregation. Lord, help me. Help me to be so focused on You, so focused on the glory of Your name. Lord, grant me Your Spirit so that You are constantly guiding me by Your Word. Lord, help me to be fully obedient to You so that, Lord, when You do bless me, when You give me what I need materially, when You bless me with even more than I need, Lord, help me to stay so focused on You that when You do bless me, I don't turn around and forget You. In short, don't pray, congregation. Don't pray, give me this day my daily bread, without first praying, Lord, grant, please, that I am so totally and so thoroughly focused on you, so that when you do bless me, I'm not at all in danger of forgetting you. Are we getting a sense, congregation, of the far reach of this petition? As Answer 125 makes clear, this petition is much more than just asking God to fill our cereal bowl in the morning and perhaps grant some cheese and ham for the midday sandwich or the lasagna and the layered salad for the evening meal. It's a prayer, a much needed prayer in our day and age, that as we take that second helping of that really good lasagna around our dinner table, in our temperature-controlled home, before heading out, say, to a sports game in our remotely started vehicle, it's a real danger that we forget our God. Grant, Lord, we pray then, that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts, they can't do us any good without your blessing. And if you need to be reminded of the need for this petition, or to put it this way, if you need to be reminded of why it's so critical that we do not forget God in light of the way he blesses us, then look at verse 19 and 20 of Deuteronomy 8. It says it right there, congregation, and we have to read it again. Verse 19 and 20. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord made to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. There isn't any need, I think, to expand on that. It spoke very pointedly to God's people of old, and it speaks very pointedly to us this afternoon. If we make things, if we make stuff our idols, if we make wealth creation our idol, then says Scripture, we will perish. How good it is then, congregation, that God graciously answers this petition, because we need for him to keep our focus upward. We see that in our second point. And congregation, absolutely praise the Lord that he answers this petition. Yes, it's true, he blesses some of us differently than he blesses others. But what is it that God said to the Israelites through Moses? Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and following. He led them through the desert. He gave them water out of a rock in a dry and thirsty place. He fed them with manna. And then look at verse 16, the last part of verse 16. Why did he do that? He did that, it says there, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. See that? We all pray the fourth petition, but some, it's true, are blessed with this much and others are blessed with just this much. To each, God gives in exactly the measure he has determined is best. Why? So that whether blessed with this much or blessed with this much, he might do us good, says the text. Or to use the words of the last part of Answer 25, so that he might teach us to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in him. Yes, our Father in heaven, it's true, chooses to bless each of us differently. But congregation, listen now, his goal in each of us is the same. It's our good, says Deuteronomy 8, that we don't forget him, that we trust him only. And trusting him completely, regardless of how he blesses us, really comes down to what Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. Paul calls it contentment. And we can go to that passage now, Philippians chapter 4. Paul is in prison. The Christians of Philippi send a care package, you might call it, along with Epaphroditus, who visits Paul in prison. And Paul writes this letter to the church of Philippi. And he does so in part to thank them for sending Epaphroditus and the gift that he brought with him. Look what he says in verse 11 of Philippians 4. halfway the verse, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And then verse 12, I know, says Paul, how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. In other words, Paul's Father in heaven answered his prayer for daily sustenance. God had taught him how to be content with just a little. God answered his petition by keeping him focused on God, even when he had basically nothing, teaching him to trust God, yes, even in that circumstance. And I think, congregation, we can easily understand that. How it is that we have to learn to be content even when we have little. But look at what else Paul says here. And this we easily and quickly skip over. Now, expect, congregation, that some of us are going to be surprised as we just focus in on this a little bit more. Because sometimes we've not really thought about this. Look at what Paul says here. Paul says that he's also learned the secret of contentment when he's faced abundance. He says that he's learned the secret of facing plenty. That's there in verse 12. And we say, well, isn't that easy? Facing plenty? What could be easier, to be content when facing plenty? But Paul, congregation, notice this. He, and we too, we have to learn the secret of facing plenty. The secret of being content when blessed with much. And don't kid yourself, brothers and sisters, it's actually not an easy secret to learn. We know that because Paul added in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That didn't apply to only facing little. It also applies to facing much. In other words, Paul knows, we have to know too, he also needed God's strength. He need God to work that in him to be content when he's blessed with much. See, that is what we're praying for our Father to do for us too. To teach us the secret of being content also when he blesses us with much. And Paul tells the Philippians that God will graciously do that for them. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, and that's the key right there, congregation. God has graciously given us his Son. His Son, who truly gave up everything, absolutely everything, even his life. Think Good Friday, just a couple of days ago. See, at that moment, God did not provide anything by way of answer to the fourth petition. It wasn't just the bread that he needed to sustain his life that was taken from him. No, life itself was taken from him. And see, brothers and sisters, having given us his Son, we now can be certain, absolutely certain, that we can trust him, our Heavenly Father, completely. Not only trust him to supply our daily needs, but also trust him so completely so as to be content in our abundance. What does that look like, you want to know? What is that secret? Well, listen. Remember, we only ask God to graciously answer this fourth petition after we've prayed the first three petitions, remember? We do that so that even as God grants us all our abundance, he maintains our focus on him so that we do not forget him. That means that contentment in the face of abundance is daring. Yes, daring to make our wealth, our abundance, congregation, completely subservient to him. Or to ask it as a question. Are you so focused on your Father in heaven that you trust him enough to use your wealth, to use your abundance, all completely for his glory? Does that make sense? Contentment in the face of riches actually isn't that easy. It's actually not that easy. It takes trust. It takes a trust and a contentment worked by the Spirit. It takes trust and contentment to use our wealth, our abundance, completely in his service, for his glory. You tell me, how hard can that be sometimes? Having prayed this petition then, there is, we understand now, no room to selfishly use his blessings for our own glory. That congregation would be spiritually dangerous, using God's gifts like that, unless God intervenes, inevitably leads to forgetting God. And so we pray, Lord, grant that that does not happen to any one of us. Help us to be so content in our wealth that we happily and joyfully and readily use it for your glory, Father. Then congregation, standing outside in the church parking lot, we don't boast about our financial accomplishments. We don't boast about our wealth. I don't know if you remember this, quite a few years ago now, President Obama once famously said to small business owners, "You didn't build that." He was saying that no small business owner managed to get where they are without the help of the government. And you might remember he was widely ridiculed for that comment. Small business owners particularly were offended. "The government only gets in the way of wealth creation," they said, and we know today it can often be true. But the then President of America was more on target than he even realized, except in a very different way than he was meaning. We all, to various degrees, are well off. But, congregation, it's true, you didn't build that. God granted you and I the ability to produce the wealth that we have. Deuteronomy 8 says so. He blesses, and so often he continues to bless. And we then need to constantly and urgently pray this fourth petition so that we never, ever forget that. Because to forget that is to forget God. And so we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, so that we always acknowledge you as the only fountain of all good, so that we trust you so thoroughly, so deeply, as to readily and cheerfully use your abundant blessings all for your glory. That, congregation, in our day and age, is a necessary and urgent petition. Pray it, and then expect God to answer it, and then go and live it. Amen.